Question. Which of these two categories do you belong? The outward adorner or the inward adorner? What did Peter say was a great price in the sight of God? The outward? Obviously, all of us have outwardly adorned ourselves this morning. And you know it's obvious when we do, and it's like homework. It's obvious when we do and when we don't. It's obvious when somebody hasn't looked into a mirror before they come. All of us, men and women, all of us look into a mirror. Why? We want to look good, don't we? We don't want to go outside and other people see us in the wrong adorning condition. So we're in one of these two conditions. And with the world all around us dressing like they dress and appearing like they appear, remember a few years ago they had the grunge look? I call it the stars and stripes forever because it didn't matter if it mixed or matched their colors. I said all they would need was a red nose on their face and they'd look like Emmett Kelly, the clown in a circus. And now we've got pants being worn below our waists and underwear showing, all of that. And it's affecting the whole world. And I'm afraid in some cases, many times it's the Christians. And we have to be aware. God warns us about our apparel, about our inner man, dressing our inner man. And when we get that right, then the outward man will be what it ought to be. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see which of these groups we're in, does it? As you walk down the street, you go to Walmart, and we see the pictures on Facebook and other places of how people dress or undress. Somebody must have told them, boy, you look good in that outfit. It goes for both male and female, doesn't it, like we said. We have to all be cautioned and be aware of the outward adornment. And so this morning, for a few moments, we're going to be talking about dressing the inner man. As we said, if we please God with the inner man, we'll please Him in every way. So as we look at some of these charts today, the world appears to the flesh, doesn't it? Commercials on television. Very few are they that do not appeal to the lusts of the flesh in some way. Car commercials, clothing, gum, perfume commercials, beer commercials, vacations. What do they appeal to? In case of the beer, they're in a bar somewhere and everybody's having a great time, and a lot of times the women are not dressed as they should be. Television shows. The devil knows how to get our attention, doesn't it? Magazine covers. What do they put on? They just opened a Walmart about a mile from our house. And they have these magazines right at eye level. As you're going in, everybody has to see them, don't they? And what's on the covers? Now, I don't have to stand there and look, but you're going to see that, aren't you? And then they're going to get you to buy the magazine because inquiring people want to know, as one magazine used to say. Movies, the highlights. Rated R. What does R stand for? I said rotten. And Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. What goes in comes out in your life. So we must dress the inner man, and we must be aware of what's going on. Another commercial that says, what's in your closet? What is in your mind? The devil knows how and what sells, doesn't he? He knows what colors to put them in. He knows how to get our attention, our eye, catch our eye. That's what advertising is all about, folks. So we have to be aware of his schemes, of his wiles. Magazine, as we said, gets your attention. Not only with pictures, but with titles. And like we said, want to draw you to the inside, make you buy that magazine. Billboard signs. Where we used to live in Peyton City, West Virginia, about every prom season, they had a big, wide billboard with about 8 or 12 young ladies on it. And none of them had anything on above here. Oh, but it goes clear to the floor. And they're going to go and they're going to be dancing and they're going to be pressing against the young man is, what is he going to be seeing? Now let's just get vivid and not preach around it. Do I want my daughter? Do I want my son in that position and condition? And I'm wondering, moms, what in the world are you thinking? What are you thinking? Even bridal gowns. Members of the church, I performed a wedding a few years ago, and they wanted all the three of us, the husband and the wife, and me as they signed their marriage license. And here she was. See, members of the church, you got to get it in here. Dress the inner man. She should have said, nah, Mom, I can't buy this. Or Mom should have said, well, we can fix that. We can put something up here. That's been done, hadn't it? Sure. Advertisers know how to get our attention, yours and mine. Not all of our battles deal with denominationalism and false teachers, do they? Oh, we got to really hit them. When we are falling apart on the inside, we may know the five steps to the plan of salvation. We know the organization of the church and the work of the church. But inwardly, what are we? What are we? Another battle is keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. That's what Ephesians 5 tells us, isn't it? That I must keep myself unspotted from the world. You know what? We go sometimes, what was this, Skyline Chili? And they'll give you a bib. You know where I'll get the spaghetti? On my arm. I'll miss the bib somehow. And you know, all it takes is one little spot, isn't it? It's ruined. I know I've done that. After services go out and eat somewhere and get a spot right here. My tie's not going to cover it. My coat's not going to cover it. Do anything I can to get that spot out of there. And that's what the Lord is telling us, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. See? You don't want to look like you slept in your clothes, do you? No. Don't have spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's you and me, how we are to be. And you know what some do? Oh, I can't do that. That's too much. Heaven is not worth me living like that. Really? Then you don't know what hell's all about, do you? You've forgotten about it. In James chapter 1, 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What are we to do? To visit the fatherless and the widows. You know what that means? You do it. Not have somebody do it for you. You need to go to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Why? So you see it. And Himself unspotted from the world. And you know what will help you to keep yourself unspotted from the world? When you do the first part of that verse. Out of the camp of the devil. Idle hands, you know how to fix that, don't you? Idle hands are what? Tell me, somebody. Devil's workshop, yes. You sit around doing nothing, you're going to get into nothing but trouble. Well, let somebody else do this visiting and caring for the others. I gave it the office. That's something the church does. No. That's why we pay the preacher. He's supposed to go and do that work. Is that what verse 27 says? No, I'm to do that. I'm to clean up the inside. Well, what influence over the world if my friends see that I live like the world? If I'm doing these things, if they see me with an explosive temper, did your lawnmower ever not start on the first mowing in the spring? What do you do? You think neighbors don't see, don't know? Huh? Language. And that's usually when the temper comes and the language comes. Because what's in here comes out, doesn't it? Sure does. If they know I watch sinful things on television, go to these movies, if I am filled with envy and jealousy and covetousness, which God condemns, doesn't he? Well, somebody said, the Lord doesn't want you to have any fun, does he? No, just the opposite. When you don't do these things, your life is going to be happy. You're going to be the happy one. I said, if I gossip and lie and smoke and drink, am I going to have a good influence on the people around me by doing any of these things? Oh, I'm going to have to make some changes. Yes, you are. Maybe you're not guilty of all of these, but maybe one of these. Is this a smorgasbord? Well, I don't do that one. I don't do number three. I don't do number five. But I do have a temper. But you know, Brother Hayfley, that's just me. And that makes it okay. And you don't have to have red hair. I don't know where that came from. Yes, I know. If I disobey my parents, tell Mom and Dad I'm going to go to Susie's. But really, I'm not. You know what some moms and dads have done? They've called Susie's. Where'd you go tonight, honey? Went to Susie's. Really, I called her and she said you weren't there. Been there, done that? Caught in a lie? When you say I'm going somewhere, you do it. When you say I'm going to do something, you do it. Well, you don't trust me. Well, duh, I think my boys would say. If I steal at work or school, one mother said, I don't know why my son steals pencils from school. She said, I bring home plenty from work. Monkey see, monkey, yeah. If I dressed immodestly, guys and gals too. Remember the church in Peyton City where we used to live? Came out of denominationalism. He was going to all churches. He said, I just knew all these churches can't be right. And he said, when he heard the truth, he said, bam, that's it. He said, I was out mowing my yard the other day. He said, my neighbor came over and said, you're a member of the church, aren't you? Church of Christ. He said, yes, sir. He said, I didn't know they allowed you to wear that kind of clothing while you mowed the yard. These shorts. You know what? They walking shorts. You know what? Trouble with walking shorts. People get tired and they sit down, don't they? I used to come up out of my study down the basement in Peyton City, and sometimes there'd be members of the church, women come, and they'd have their legs crossed with their shorts. You know where their line was? I wish that I had a camera to show them. When I stand up, yeah, it comes to the... Not when you sit down. Moms, dads, daughters, going out, sit down. You're not going to go out there. Well, that's what everybody's wearing, but you're not. And I said to my children the same things I said I wouldn't say that my folks said to me. If everybody's doing it, will you jumping off a cliff, you're going to do that? Yeah. We need some parents that don't want to just be friends with their children, but want to be parents with their children and know that there is a God in heaven and know that you are responsible. No, they made that. No. You allow it. You permit it. And that's a whole other lesson in itself, isn't it? Are you salt or light? We're to be salt. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Who? Can you take that personal? Shouldn't you? Salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, you ever have salt? What do they call this? Imitation salt? I just put three times as much on. No salt. Doesn't do any good. worthless. If it's lost its flavor, wherewith shall it, the world, be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, the salt, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. That's what I'm worth if I'm not being a good influence. If I'm not the salt of the earth. I'm good for nothing but to be cast out. He said, you are the light of the world. And did you notice when we turn the lights on, when you turn the lights on at home, you don't hear, oh, listen to those lights. When the spring comes and finally the tomatoes finally ripen after years and years of on the plant, and you take that first one off the vine, you take it and you cut it and you put salt on it, and you taste it better than these old winter cardboard tomatoes. Does that salt do anything for it? Judy cooked some meat yesterday. You think it was some salt on that? It's kind of yucky without it, isn't it? It permeates all the way through. That's what we do as salt. You think, well, I don't have any. Yes, you do. Judy's dad used to say, who preached the gospel for 100 years, he said, if you can't serve as a good example, you can always serve as a bad one. And the Bible gives us several bad examples, doesn't it? I don't want to be like that. Who do you want to be like? You want to be like an Esther with some courage? You want to be like a Joseph or a David or a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a Daniel, and on those lists could go. Mary, Ruth. How do you do that? By you dressing the inner man first. That's how you do that. That's how you become salt and light. We need to move on. You can't become contaminated with the world, can you? No. I can cause the world to blaspheme. Read 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1. Servants, be obedient to your masters. Don't be a lazy servant. Do what you're told to do. When you get a job, you do what you're told to do. You obey. Don't let somebody say about you, that's the laziest employee we've got. A friend of ours had a son working for a fast food restaurant, and the manager of the restaurant called and said, do you have any more children at home? He said, yes, I have a daughter. He said, send her down. I need more employees like your son. Yes. Taught to work. And not cause the world, like David did in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Remember when Nathan came to him and said, you are the man. We don't have time to go into all that. You're the man. And he said in verse 16, you've caused the Gentiles to blaspheme. Your life, David, which should have been a bright and shining light on a hill, the light of the earth, light of the world, but you've caused the enemies to blaspheme. And you know what God said? He said, you did this in secret, but I'm going to let everybody know. 3,000 years later, we still know about David and Bathsheba. When God said everybody, and a lot of times we think, well, my sins, oh, I can get away with it. What does Numbers 32:23 say? Behold, your sins will find you out. Salt preserves, doesn't it? It heals. It brings out the flavor. It is a cleanser. Let me ask you, how you doing as the salt? How you doing? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall observe, King James says, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. When you go try to talk to them, they're not going to say, look, I've seen you at work. I know, and you're trying to tell me you want me to be a godly person when you're such a mess yourself? You behave yourself like you're supposed to. So when you talk to these people, because they're going to be observing you, which they shall observe. And that word observe means they're looking at you through a magnifying glass. Sherlock Holmes, anybody? They're looking for a chink in your armor. Used to work in the factory. Caterpillar tractor in Peoria, Illinois. Things don't go well there all the time. And sometimes you should have heard the language when machine didn't behave or the guy didn't do what he was supposed to. Ooh, it's pretty bad. You can't be that way. You can't behave like that. What are others observing in you? Which they observe. And you notice, he says, by your good works. And that word good means beautiful. Beautiful works. When you see somebody doing something right, isn't that beautiful? Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 1, to obey your mother and your father, about verse 8 or 9 along in there. And they said that, verse 9 I think says, that they will be chains around your neck and a crown on your head. That means when you obey your parents, that'll make you look good. We have some young people, about 20 teenagers at Danville. And there's several of them, Mr. Hafley, yes sir, no sir. That's not only making them look good, but that's making their parents look good, isn't it? Sure does. Instead of, huh, yeah, nah. What's so hard about yes sir? And I hear people saying, don't call me sir. And I have to respond to them even now. My parents taught me better. They're watching, aren't they? Friends at school, neighbors, coworkers, frequent. Oh, I told that clerk at Walmart, boy, I sure told her, I reamed her. Letting your light shine? What's road rage all about? You ever do anything smart when you're mad? What's the answer to that one? People form opinions. I form opinions about people's children. How their children do what? Dress? You know, I see the children, but I look at their parents. Children of elders, children of deacons, preachers' kids, members' kids. How they act with others, how they behave. How you doing? No social skills? How you behave during worship? We sat about, five, six rows back. And most of the teenagers sit up front. I don't think sometimes some of them know that there are people behind them. Look over there. Behaving in worship? Bible knowledge? Teaching the classes? Some don't have a clue. Turn to Matthew. Old or New Testament? And I'm not talking about 4 and 5 year olds. Scripture readings, simplest little Bible words. Manners, as we said. Respect. Well, I don't do that. Well, it sounds funny coming from me. No one, it sounds good. And it puts on your neck and on your head. It makes you look good. I like to look good, don't you? That's why I didn't come in bibbed overalls. If that's the only thing I had to wear, that's what I would have worn. Friendliness to young and old. Taught the teenage class, and I told all 20 of them, I said, don't just after services, after the final amen, just sit around and talk to each other. I said, go meet an old person. Not just your parents either. Go talk to somebody and say, hi. Glad you're here. How'd that make you feel, Daryl? People talk to you. I know how it makes me feel. Sometimes the young people come out of their way to go talk to this old man on the other side of the building. Yeah. dressing the inner man. That's what we're doing. We must keep busy doing good. Studying. Is that doing good? Showing yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed? Or giving all diligence, other versions say? I'm looking, when service is over, whenever I have opportunities to study, I'm going to read. And you don't have to read all night. Oh, and by the way, parents, don't make it a punishment. Get upstairs and read 7 chapters. Remember that on the Waltons? Mary Ellen had in her smart mouth. Mama sent her upstairs to punish her and read the Bible. Really? Praying. Without ceasing. Should you be praying right now? No. Just whenever you can. And Judy's brother always told me, he said, your sermons don't have to be eternal to be immortal. I know when I started about 20 minutes ago. Prayers too. Can I in the morning, before I even open my eyes or raise my head, thank you, God, for this warm bed, these covers, the cool in the summer, huh? And the fact that I was able to eat yesterday and feed myself. Thank you. Is that list endless? Shake your head this way. Yes. You put down on a piece of paper, get specific about what God has done for you even today. The miles traveled, eyes to see, tongue that tastes and can talk. Can't take them for granted, can we? Can they be taken away from us like that? Yes. Yes, they can. Keep dressing your inner man. Praying to God. Let God know. Attendance, you're here, aren't you? You going to be back? You know what we never ask our mom and dad? Are we going to church Sunday? Not going to ask that question. You going to church Wednesday? Gospel meeting? You going to church tonight? We went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Going every night? But there's a big game on tonight. Indiana's playing. And I'd die if I missed it. No, you wouldn't. All these things. Keep busy doing good. Keep you away from those idle hands that we talked about. We must keep busy helping others. Not only pray for, but help. Though the weak spiritually, ye which are spiritual, you know what you did is wrong, don't you? You're going to die and go to hell. That time may come when they continue to refuse to obey God, just like Jesus did. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites. Verse chapter 23, Matthew. That time comes. But first visit, you don't come with knees and elbows, do you? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. What if it were you, lest you also be tempted? How would you want somebody to come to you? Brother Hafley, we've been missing you. And you're going to miss heaven. Now, they may get mad and throw you out, but you didn't do wrong, did you? You were doing good. Did you know maybe next Sunday, when they've had time to cool down and think about what you just did? They'll say, he was right, she was right. I'm in the wrong. You did good, didn't you? And you don't have to go around. Well, I'm the one that got him to come back. You won't do that, will you? That's pride, isn't it? Something else the Bible condemns. The weak physically, as we said already, visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Can I do that? How about a phone call? Well, I don't know what to say. How about starting with, hello? Tell them who you are. How are you doing? If it were you on the sick end, and you got a call, we missed you today. We miss you whenever you're not here. You do? You know when at home, when we were growing up, whenever one of us wasn't there, we knew where the other one was. Don't you? I don't know where Larry is. He hadn't been home in weeks. Really? Yeah, you know. Help the poor. always refer to this wonderful verse, Dorcas. She was full of good works and alms each. When she heard the announcement at worship, Brother so-and-so sick, Sister so-and-so, not able to be with us. Can I do anything to, you know what? Let me tell you. If you need help, would you say yes? Yes, I can use you. If I ask you and you allow me to help you, you know that does me good. More blessed to give. I'm the blessed one by helping. And it does us all good. What kind of a bond would we have if we allowed each other to help each other? And notice the last three words, which she did. Didn't just hear the announcements. She did something about it, didn't she? Help my enemies. That'll be the day. You know what he did to me? What did Jesus say? You know what it's hate your enemies? That was the Jews' interpretation. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Excuse me. Bless them that curse you. No, I want to punch him right in the nose. Well, we talked about that in Bible class, in the adult class today, in Romans chapter 12. What verse 19, Darren? Don't seek revenge. You seek revenge, well, you do. You'll mess it up. You say, well, I'll get even with you. No, you'll go lower than what that person did to you. You'll do worse. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. They won't understand that. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, that'll save you a headache, literally. If I'm filled with teeth gritting hate all day, every time I see. Did you know what? When King Saul saw David, his day was ruined. He'd be having a great day. How's your day, King Saul? Great. His good day was over. So mad was he could throw a spear at him. Kill him. When he should have been singing his praises. Couldn't happen. Pray for them. Do good to them. You're dressing the inner man. You're helping yourself. The reason for doing verse 44 is in verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Because he lets the sun shine on the evil, doesn't he? And the good. He lets the rain come down on the evil and the good. So, I want to be a child of the Father. Acts 7:50, he kneeled down, that was Stephen, and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Verse 20 of Acts chapter 22 is when Paul reminds everybody that he remembers Stephen. He said, I was sitting there holding the coats of the ones that killed him. Stephen. Oh, no, I don't remember that. Yes, he does. Because he remembered exactly what Stephen said when he cried with a loud voice. You think Paul didn't hear that? Think again. Yes, he heard it. Did he forget it? You think David ever forgot Uriah? That David ever forgot the baby that died? No, Lord, I don't. Nathan, what are you talking about? No. Jesus, what did he say? While hanging like this, Father, forgive them. You know what he told us to do, 5:44? Pray for your enemies. Bless them. That's what he did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Could you have done dressing the inner man? Yes, you could do that. If you're hating your enemies, you're cursing your enemies, then you're not dressing your inner man properly, are you? Jesus could say, do as I say and as I do. Sometimes we say, don't do as I do as I say. That's not a good plan. Won't work. Romans chapter 12 that we talked about, and I want you to notice down here at the bottom. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Yes, that's what I want to do. Dump a big hot cold bucket on his head. You're going to hurt your enemy worse by being good to him than by mistreating him. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Can you think like that? That's what turning the other cheek's all about, folks. Because he's going to expect you to hit him. Somebody hits you and you go like that, he's going to be ducking, isn't he? Yeah, because he's going to expect you to hit him back. How about saying, I'm praying for you? Kids at school, I remember somebody shoved somebody up against the locker. Boy, the fight was on. Boys and girls. You ain't seen nothing. Hair pulling, scratching, clawing. Was that the thing to do? No. We know better. We're dressing the inner man, aren't we? Others, song Others. It's in one of the newer song books. And these words say, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Not me. Lord, bless me. Lord, I need. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, not just me. We're in the me generation. Me, 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 me. Last part of the verse. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep. Crucify and slay me and bury me deep. And all in vain may efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. Did you know you can do that right here? When services are over, by being concerned about others. We have a lame man over here on my left against the wall. John's twisted his knee. You know, I'm not going to kick him, are you? No. Do what you can. Look for others that need a smile, that need a pat on the back, that need a kind word. Yeah, you think it doesn't work? Think again. Joy pattern there at the bottom, what is it? Think about Jesus. That WWJD, remember those bracelets? What would Jesus do? Okay, what would he do in my situation? Others, think about others, and then yourself last. That's joy. When you do that, you'll find that so. The way to heaven means a change in lifestyle and habits, doesn't it? We must seek and set our affections on things above. Our treasures cannot be on earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. What's the tendency to do? How much money we got in the bank? How the stock's doing? See? Oh. And wring your hands when the economy, oh, Dow Jones, I don't know who he is, but went down. Oh, it's just gonna. Is that how we're to live? People during the Great Depression in the 20s and 30s committed suicide when all their money was gone, their God was gone. They lost it all and they left it all. Don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth, rust, and thieves are. Just three of the ways you can lose your money. That's just three of them, not all of them. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where those things do not occur. For where your treasure is, verse 21, there will your heart be what you ought to be dressing. Are you dressing it for worldly goods or for heavenly? God knows what affections are above. God's there, isn't he? Jesus said in his prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus is there. As he left, the angel said, as you saw him go to heaven, into the heavens, he's going to return. He is, isn't he? Did you forget that? 7:55, what did Stephen see? Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father in heaven. Jesus said, 14:6 of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 1 John 5 and verse 7, the Holy Spirit, one of the three that's in heaven. The saved of the Old and New Testament are there. Read Hebrews 11. God's Hall of Fame. And the great reward. You ever have a good day? What's going to come next? The devil makes sure, won't he? Things are going to go wrong. Something's going to happen. And it may not be your fault. Is that going to happen in heaven? You're going to have a bad day? Oh, I'm having a bad day. No. No, you're not. In heaven, things will be there. Eternal life. Some people live here like they're going to have eternal life, like they're some mythical God, but they're not. They're not going to live here forever, are they? Eternal life is in heaven. Some things that won't be there, just quickly. Our time's getting away. What if there were no death on earth? Oh, man, think about the people who would be here or worshiping God somewhere that you know. Oh, wouldn't that be great? You could still go visit them. Huh? No pain. None of that in heaven. None of these things in heaven, folks. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections. Set them there. There's my goal. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul said, I am pressing toward the mark for the prize. How you doing? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things that we seek after, clothes, cars, land, money, fame, popularity, whatever it is that you need, God will give it to you. Read Matthew chapter 6. You can have the best of both worlds, the best here or the best forever in heaven. You can't be a lover of the world, can you? Love not the world. We need to move along. That first phrase ought to just tell you all about it. Then chapter verse 17, and the world passeth away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How are we doing? Can't be a lover of the world, can we? Demas was. Paul said, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Moses wasn't. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You think Moses is glad he made the choices that he made? Shake your head this way. How about Demas? Was it worth it, Demas? Was it worth it? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24. You're making a choice every day. How are you doing? How are you doing? Got to be popular. Oh, you Church of Christ people, just go to church all the time. And that's bad. Who am I seeking to please? After graduation, what will those things mean to you? In a few years, you won't know who any of those children are that you graduated with. I graduated, I think it was 429 or 529, I've forgotten. Whole bunch of kids. I don't know where one of them is today. Last chart. On the day of judgment, earthly treasures will be... Look! Donald Trump's going to say, look what I can pull out of my... Is that going to matter? Look, Lord... Look at all the kingdoms I've built. And the Lord's going to say, wow, the Donald, that's impressive. Is he going to be welcomed in? What do you think? That's right. Worthless. Like having a fork to eat soup with. But on the day of judgment, heavenly treasures will be what? Priceless. Oh, the joy. Oh, the bliss. Read the Beatitudes. Every one of them begins with blessed, don't they? Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Happy, happy, literally, oh, the bliss. of those who are dressing the inner man. How are we doing? We've got about 15 more charts, but you've listened well. And we'll stop here on the priceless. Dressing the inner man. Start today if you haven't been. Work harder if you have been. Okay? And I know that you have. Let's see how we can improve. Sometimes we save New Year's resolutions just for the end of the old year. Can we make them and keep them? Have a goal. Set it. I'm going to be doing some of these good works. I'm going to be helping others. I'm going to be studying more, praying more, loving my enemies, whatever it takes for me to get to heaven. And indeed, it will be worth it. Worth it all, won't it? If you miss heaven, you'll miss it all. If you gain heaven, you've got it all. One day He will come. Won't you be ready? If you've obeyed the gospel and fallen away, you know what? You can pray to God any hour of the day. God, please forgive me for what I've done. Doesn't need to be a public confession. Some things do, but not all. I can pray to God in my car, at home, wherever I am, even when I'm walking, and He'll hear. He'll hear, and He will forgive. But if you've not been baptized into Christ, you are lost. You are outside of Him, for baptism puts us into Christ. Though the world says no, the Bible says yes. Which do you choose, heaven or hell? Make that choice, if need be, today, right now, while we stand, while we sing. Hear my